y'all say amen. That's all right. And I know that. And I said, Lord, you know your church. You can shear sheep for so long when every now and then you need to put some salve on it. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, let me have something like to help the church. Just encourage them. This thought just come to mind, come down the road. Couldn't get it off my mind. I went home and studied on that. It's not something deep, and you're not going to be overwhelmed with it. But I believe tonight God's wanting to put some salve. Now, we'll shear next week some more. Amen. I mean, at some point, I don't know. God gives a message. I don't plan all that head all the time. Sometimes God just changes. He's changed messages sitting on the front row for us, so I don't know what God's going to do. But, we're trying to prepare for revival. And when you prepare for revival, first thing you got to deal with is this old flesh. And it's hard crucifying the flesh. It never has been easy crucifying the flesh. It never has been easy crucifying the flesh. Say amen right there. It's never been easy. Listen, if it's easy, it wouldn't be called a crucifixion.
Amen.
It would just be, vacation. It's not vacation, it's crucifixion. Amen. And God has to deal with our flesh. But boy, I'll tell you one thing. Here's the amazing thing about God. Same time he's dealing with our flesh, he's encouraging our spirit. And that's why he does me anyway. He's been breathing on here, and preacher's just getting beside himself. I don't hardly know what's going on. I'm just enjoying the trip right now. Amen. And looking forward. Brother Wharton going to be with us in a few more weeks. Isn't that exciting? Going to drive all the way from Florida up here to be with us. And if you've never heard Brother Wharton preach, you're just going to enjoy it. I'm telling you, are going to enjoy Brother Wharton preaching. Brother Vaughn always has him start up, and we always kind of slide to the end of benches and listen. Amen. And we'll have him for 4 days, and I'm looking forward to it. 4 days of him preaching. All right, if you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if you have a ribbon in your Bible, or if you got something you mark with, stick your finger in there. We'll turn over to Isaiah chapter number 40. And I'm going to preach just two verses tonight on a subject the Lord put on my heart on the way home this afternoon. So Deuteronomy chapter number 32, if you have your place, go ahead and stand and reverence the Word of God. We'll read these two passages, and you can put a marker there if you will. And we'll probably turn back and forth between these two passages, just a verse so here, each one. So look at it with me. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 11. Here's what the Bible says. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, on her wings. And so we see that passage there. He's talking about the eagle. And then over there in the book of Isaiah, of course, very familiar scripture tonight. But in Isaiah chapter number 40, we'll begin reading there in verse number 28. And Devin, turn me down just a little bit because I feel like I'm going to holler tonight. And I don't want to blow everybody's down there just a little bit, not too much. And look at verse number 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord of the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no mighty increaseth strength. Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a great passage of scripture tonight? I want to preach on this thought on mounting up with eagles, wings of eagles. I want to preach on that tonight, and I want to preach on there's five stages for an eagle to fly. Do you know that? There's a five-step stage for an eagle to fly. I want to preach on that tonight, on mounting up with eagle's wings, and maybe the Lord would let us take that and use these passages here tonight and take those scriptures and learn what it means to fly a little higher today than we ever have before. Don't we want to live on that higher plane? Amen. And there is a five-step that every eagle has to go through in order to fly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, I pray we'd be an encouragement to everybody here. Thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that now we just wallow in it and get all we can get out of it and be a help to each other and be an encouragement. Look over and smile at each other and say, Lord, that's true. And Lord, you be a help to us tonight. Don't leave us here, Lord, without your spirit. Move among us, finger about our hearts. Be any unclean thing, Lord, I pray that you would point it out to us. And Lord, I pray we'd serve you and honor you with everything we have and do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. You be seated. Mounting up with wings as eagles. And so that's what he speaks about in Isaiah chapter number 40. And verse number 31. But if you will turn back over to the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll begin to speak on, really, there's four of the steps that we'll talk about here in Deuteronomy, and then Isaiah will talk about the fifth one. The Bible says here, it says, if you'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 11, it says this, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Now, when an eagle lays her eggs and she has sat on her eggs for some time, naturalists and tell us that this is the fact that they'll sit on their eggs, they'll hatch those eggs out, they'll feed those young eagles for a while, and then it comes to a time when it's time for the eagles to take flight. In other words, mama's had all she can stand, and it's time to get out of the house and begin to fly. Now, those eagles will sit in the middle of that nest, and they'll flap all around. Boy, they'll sit up and they'll poke themselves up and they'll flatter their wings around and they'll flap around, and boy, they're big stuff. Because they're sitting in the center protection of that. I don't know if you ever seen an eagle's nest, but it is a humongous thing. But you only see an eagle's nest when an eagle's nest is in process. In other words, you don't see, you ever notice that, like, you can see a sparrow's nest, you can find it next year, but you don't find eagle's nests that way, and there's a reason for that. Here's what happens. Those eaglets will sit there and they'll flap around. They're kind of like us on Sunday, Wednesday, you know, we get in church and we all excited, amen, and boy, it's just good to be at the house of God, and we're all spiritual then, right? Amen? We're kind of bragging about how spiritual, aren't we? Come on now. And we all just full of, you know, we just full of rice and everything, and we just think we're something. And we get in the middle of this, and we're just flapping all around. But see, God's not interested so much as what we do on Sunday as He is how we live it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And He wants us to grow, amen? He wants us to grow. And the eaglet does the same thing. They'll get in the middle of that nest, Brother Tony, they'll just flap around. They just big stuff, but they ain't really doing nothing. They just big stuff on Sundays, amen? Big stuff on Wednesdays, if you will. And what she will do, that eagle, the Bible says, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, here's what she'll do. She'll get in there and she'll begin to stir that nest. And the first thing she'll do, she'll put them out, she'll begin to push them out to the borders of that nest. Now, inside the nest, you know, they're flapping around, ain't no big deal. But when you get pushed to the edge of it and you rise, you're a couple hundred feet off the ground, it gets real serious real quick. Amen? And those eaglets are pushing over like, Mom, you're going to push me out of this thing if you ain't careful. Well, she's trying to do that. But she'll push them all to the edge. And then, Brother Charles, here's another thing she does. Why she pushes them to the edge, you know what she does? She'll go underneath that nest and begin to deconstruct that nest from the middle outward. She is literally removing the foundation of what they're sitting in out from underneath their feet. She will begin to flutter around that nest and begin to pick it apart and pull it apart. Because if she don't, they'll stay right in that nest all their lives. She's got to destroy that nest, the very thing that they felt comfortable in. She's now got to take that thing apart so they'll learn to fly. And so the first stage, if you will, listen, she don't want them just flap around on Sunday. She wants them get used to the edge there. And she wants them to learn how to flap on the edge a little bit. Got to get the thought there's a reason for this flapping. It ain't just for showing off. Amen. And so she begins to, you move around there and tear that nest apart. She begins to stir up her nest. Now, Lamentations chapter 1 verse 20 says, behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me. For I have grievously rebelled abroad, the sword bereaveth, and home there is as death. And the Lamentation, Jeremiah is just saying, man, there's trouble everywhere I look. There's trouble at home, there's trouble there. And it's like that young eaglet, if you will. If he stays in the middle of the nest, he's going to fall through. If he gets too close to the edge, he's going to fall through. And so there, all of a sudden, there becomes a first stage, if you will. And that first stage of the eagle beginning to fly is a discomfort stage. In other words, it's got to be brought out of its comfort zone. Amen. Now listen, if you're going to fly for God, you're going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable with how you've been living and what you've been doing and how we've always done it. You got to kind of get out of that a little bit. And it's got to be where it doesn't suit you so much. Amen. And so, you know, if you don't do it, the nest is going to come out from under you anyway. So God has to push us to the edges. He had to do that to Israel. And when the first church, He had to let them go through persecution so He could spread them abroad so they'd begin to spread the gospel. Thank God He did. Amen. Amen. We're here tonight because He made them uncomfortable. Amen. Allowed them to be that way. And so first of all, there is a discomfort stage in order to mount up with eagles' wings. The second thing is, there is a demonstration stage. Look at your Bible here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. It says, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, fluttereth over her young. Now here's what she'll do. She'll push them, she'll begin to shake up the nest, and she'll push them to the edge, and then she'll lift up. She'll get her wings, and she'll begin to flap, just flap around the nest a little bit. Now, Brother Ty, you know what she's doing? She's showing them that you can fly. She'll begin to demonstrate that you can fly. And she'll fly around the nest. And she said, look here. I ain't had to sit on the nest. I ain't had to lean on the nest. I'm not having to be on the nest. And I'm okay. And they'll sit there and watch Mama go around. Wow. Can you imagine? Here they are way up there. Mama's flying around. They say, man, that must be something. And the whole time the nest is disappearing. Amen. And she's trying to teach them something and get the idea in their heart and in their minds that she's given a demonstration that you can fly. Now, we've been given demonstrations. The Bible says over in John 13:15, Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. In 1 Peter 2:21, he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And so Christ is our example. We are called Christians because we are supposed to be Christ-like. Amen? And so we have the fluttering, if you will, of Christ over the nest, telling us and teaching us how we ought to live. We look at him and we have the ultimate example of Christianity in Christ. Amen? And so he flutters over the nest. And also we have the saints' examples. The Bible says over in James 5:10, it says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, of patience. We look back at those prophets of Isaiah and Ezekiel and we read about their lives, and there are examples, Brother Keith, where God is teaching us how that you can go through troubles and trials and yet be faithful and come out on top, and the importance of our testimony and how we ought to reach out to others and why we ought to live the life we're going to live. And we look back at those prophets and we say, man, they paid a price, but what an example we get from them. We look over there to those ones that have passed on before us and past years and just last previous years. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And all of them look over. I believe they look over and see us, and we're going to give account one day to the Lord. But I believe they're going to look over and say, why in the world didn't you live what you were supposed to live? Amen. I've got a dad over in heaven, and I got a dad mom over in heaven. And listen, I'd hate for them. I don't think they're thinking about me tonight. But if they were thinking about me tonight, I sure wouldn't want to let them down. Amen. Amen. I sure wouldn't want to let them down. I think about Dr. Percy Radius going on to glory and how he lived his life separated unto God and how that we ought to live that way. And I think about all the other men of God through this county and in my life and how they lived for God and how they stood and they preached it right unapologetically. And it hair-lipped the devil and made people mad sometimes. But I'm glad that they stood true, that folks got saved, amen, and they didn't go with the world. You know what they did? They fluttered over the nest and showed us we can fly. I'm thank God today. I'm 46 years old. I've been pastoring for 16 years now, this church. And I'm glad I had somebody flutter over my nest and tell me it is possible to fly. You don't have to live like this world's living. You can live better than this world. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You can live better than this world if you want to. If you want to. You can fly. Amen. Hey, number three, not only do we have the prophets, and they have those that have passed on, but also there's a pattern set. The Bible says in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have an example for an example. 2 Thessalonians 3:8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man not work, any would not work, neither should he eat. They said, we, it's not that we didn't have authority and power to ask from you, but we worked to give an example that what we were preaching, you'd follow. What a message that Paul gives us over there in 2 Thessalonians. What an example of the pattern that was set. And then so we see the Savior's example, and we see the saints' example, and then we turn over to 1 Timothy 4:12, and it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We have, listen, church, we have those that have fluttered over our nest, and it's now our season to be the example. It's our time to be the example. It's our time to be different from the world. It's our time to hold the fort. It's our time to keep it right. It's our time to keep the oil filled. It's our time to keep the lamp burning. It's our time to light the candle and hold it up in the dark night. It is our season to live for this. It's not another season. It's our season. Amen. Would you agree with me? It's our season. This generation of saints, this generation, y'all have heard me say it before, this generation of saints is responsible for this generation of sinners. You say, this awful these days, and I'll agree, and I've never seen it so public, Brother Tony. I've never seen sin so public in my life. They want to establish it out there. Brother Ty, you was telling me about one of the church, local denominations decided that sodomy was okay to be a preacher and be a sodomite. What wickedness that is. Why take a vote? You don't have to take a vote. The Bible says it's wretchedness, and the Bible says it's wrong. There needs to be no vote. You don't vote on the Word of God. It is the very Word of God. It stands on its own. And that's the way we ought to be today. Amen. Y'all hear what I'm saying today? It's our turn. It's our turn to be the example. We are the generation now that needs to stand strong. Amen. It's not easy. It wasn't easy back then. It's not easy today. It never will be easy. But that's what it takes in order to fly. Amen. In order to mount up with wings of eagles, you have to have a demonstration stage. And so, old mama eagle will fluff up her wings and she'll hover around them, and they'll begin to get the idea that, man, she's like us, that's mama, and she's a flying, and may we fly too. And so there's a demonstration stage. Number three, y'all still with me tonight? There's another stage which is not written in this scripture here. You say, "Oh, preacher, you're preaching out of context now, ain't you?" No. Let me ask you this, Brother Ty. If they stay in the nest and she keeps pulling twigs out of the nest, there's going to be a decision stage. That decision is fly or die. Would you agree? It's just going to happen. Either you fly or you die. Amen. Because mama's not going to stay around forever. Fly or die. I thought about over there, and the Bible says in Psalms 27:13, he said, "I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living." We have to, at some point, make a decision either to fly or die. And some people say, "Well, I ain't going to make no decision." Well, you done made it. If mama keeps pulling the twigs out from under you, you're going to die if you're not going to fly. You're either going to live for the Lord, or are you going to live for this world? You're either going to line up with him, or are you going to be left a hole in the nest gone, amen, and you're going to die. And so there is a decision stage in our lives where we're going to have to make a decision to either fly or die. Does that make sense? And so there's three stages: a discomfort stage, a demonstration stage, a decision stage, and a deliverance stage. That's a good stage. The Bible says, hey, you got your Bibles open? Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. It says, "He spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, and beareth them on her wings." You know what happens? The nest starts going away. The nest starts going away. The nest starts going away. And they make a decision. I want to live. It ain't that hard a decision, really. I had that night I got saved. The nest is going away. I want to live. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have eternal life. Amen. But not only just for eternal life in being saved, but in service and living for the Lord. We have to get to the point where we're going to make that decision. So the nest is going away, and we say we'd rather fly than die. So what we do, the nest fades away. Sometimes we have to wait there until it falls. Amen. But we take a little launch out there, and that little baby eagle begins to flap. And it flings that wings every way. It seemed like it is. And it ain't right. And it ain't got the wind currents right. And it starts going all wrong. And everything starts happening. And about that time, he's ready to scream and say, "This is all a lie." And nothing showed up. Mama comes underneath that. She'll take him up. She'll flap her wings and carry him around a little while. How many of us carried anybody? Let me. How many of us ever been carried? How many times some old saint of God got underneath us and helped us out from crashing? Amen. Bore us up and carried us. And how many times the Lord Himself picked us up just when we was on the way to the ground and swooped down underneath us and got us under the right wind current. That old mama eagle began to take that baby. She'll flap those wings and that baby will start getting in the same motion as mama. It'll start getting in the same rhythm as mama and starting feeling those little, and she'll try to drop out from under him a little bit and he'll, a little bit like that. And after a while, he'll kind of get it. He'll start flying on his own. How many times have we been saved by somebody who came along and kept us from falling? Say, what happened? What preacher, what happened? What kept us from falling? Well, first of all, you have to make that decision. And then after you have that decision stage, Brother Freddie, you have that deliverance stage where that old mama eagle comes underneath us and kind of teaches us the way. Y'all got what I'm saying tonight? This is not deep, but it's good. Amen. And so the eagle flies away. But remember I said there's five stages. Every eagle, if lives its life out, every eagle, if it lives its life out, many can live up to 30 years. If they live their lifespan out, at some time in that lifespan, will go through a stage called molting. And it is an awful stage for an eagle. In molting, it begins to lose its feathers and literally becomes tied to the ground. It looks like a turkey. The feathers fall out. The beautiness of the feathers are bad. And it walks everywhere it goes. It's an eagle, but it lives like a turkey. You ever been there before? You ever been a turkey when you know you're supposed to be an eagle? Boy, that just hurts your feelings, don't it? Amen. I look like a turkey. It's all right. Smile. It'll be all right. Your face won't crack tonight. It's all right. It'll go through this molding stage at least one time in its life. Let me give you some things about this molding stage and about it. We'll call this the down stage. The stage when the eagle is down. And when it's going through hurting, it typically happens, and I don't know why it happens this way, but I found out that most time when it happens that they end up landing or sitting, or when they finally sit down and they're in that stage, they're in a valley. Isn't that the strangest thing? They don't have the molting stage when they're up on a rock up on top, because see, that'd be bad. Why would that be bad? Somebody. You'd fall. Amen. Some of us look and say, why I got to go through this valley? Because you couldn't handle the mountain top in your stage that you're in. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we just can't handle the mountain stage. Sometimes God's got to get us down the valley where he can actually keep us secure. That sounds so strange, doesn't it? But when you think about it, if we was up on there, we'd fall off and, boy, we'd really get hurt. It takes place in the valley. I read about it, and I found out that those eagles, when they're in that stage, they lose their appetite for food. They quit eating. They quit consuming. They quit taking in anything. And so, of course, when they don't have any appetite, they don't eat anything, what happens? Begin to get weak. Their vision grows dim in that stage. Now, they had perfect vision. They could see for miles, but while they're in the valley, in that molding stage, they get where they can't see very far off. They can only see very close. Man, don't this sound familiar? When we can't see things very far off, we lose our appetite, we're in the valley. Boy, it's a down stage, isn't it? That eagle also, I found out that it has calcium built up on its beak and on its claw, and it's calcium. I thought that's the strangest thing. But calcium, if it builds up, it makes that eagle's beak so heavy. Did you know what that eagle will do? It'll drop its head and walk through that valley. Can't fly. Can't see. Not hungry. No appetite for the things it used to like. Just down. Got its head down. Boy, don't that sound like us sometimes? Well, I'm just going through it. So heavy. Preacher, I'm so heavy, I can't even lift my head up. And I know, preacher, you said we ought to have joy, but I'm just so heavy. The weights of this world has got me so heavy that I cannot lift my head up. And I thought, Lord, now how fitting this is. This Bible's not mistaken at all. It talks about the eagle and about it over in Isaiah. We're going to read over in Isaiah 41 just a moment. And Isaiah chapter 40 in just a moment. So I read on and I thought, well, that's pretty depressing. But it says that every eagle, if it lives long enough, it has a long life. It's going to eventually have to go through this molting stage. Now you read it and it says go through this molting stage. That's the good thing. And I said, okay. So if you're going through that molting stage and you're down in that valley, how do you get out of that valley? Wouldn't that be a good next thing? How do you get out of that valley? And here's what I found out. That eagle, if it wants to live, now if it don't want to live, it can die in the valley. It is its choice. If it wants to live, here's what it'd do. It'd go walk around till it finds a rock and it'd jump up on that rock and just bake in the sun. Isn't that crazy thing? Just sit there and warm itself in the sun. So the first thing it does is it finds a rock and makes sure the sun can see it. If you want to live when you're in the valley, the first thing you do is run to a rock and make sure the sun can see. Tell him you want to live. Tell him you want to come out. Tell him you don't want to live in the valley. Lord, I don't want to die like this. I know I look like a turkey, but I was born to be an eagle. I'm going to go find the rock and wait for the sun to look at me. Amen. Number two, they'll find another eagle that's molting. They'll find another one down in the valley that wants to live. Who knows, they may find each other on the rock together. And here's what they'll do, Brother Todd. Never knew this before. They'll lift their heads up and begin to swing their heads. And they'll hit their beaks together. Sounds painful, don't it? But they'll hit their beaks together and try to knock some of that calcium off. As iron sharper than iron, so a man sharper than the countenance of his friend. Amen. He'll find somebody else that's going through. And they'll begin to beat their beaks together and scratch their claws and sharpen them up. While they're standing on the rock, waiting for the sun to see them. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. See, preacher, what I do when I'm in my valley, you got to decide you want to get out of that valley. You got to find the rock. You got to look for the sun. And then while you're there, look around for somebody else to help you get your countenance right. Amen. Here's what else I found. They can't fly. They can't run real good. Here they are in the valley. And they ain't have much of an appetite, but they'd like to eat. All of a sudden, I want to live. Well, you got to eat. You know what I found out? I was shocked. Other eagles who have molted before will go find pieces of meat and fly over that valley and drop meat down to those molting eagles. You know why they'll do that? Because they remember what it was like to be molting. And if you want to live, we'll drop you a piece of meat. And there it is. Because I've been there before. And I just want to tell you, listen here, if you've ever gone through a valley and come out of it, your purpose in life is to make sure the one that's going through it now is getting some meat. So here they are, on the rock, in the sun, beating those calcium off so they can lift their heads up again, Brother Nance, and having free meals dropped in on them from those that have been on it before. You know, those just drop-in kinds. Just thought I'd drop in and say, how you doing? Thought I'd call you today and say, how you doing? Just want to know I love you. I know you're praying for you. Amen. Just want you to know you matter. Amen. Say, I wish they'd quit calling me. You better pray to God they don't quit calling you. Amen. No man liveth to himself. Amen. No man died to himself. You listening? So in the meantime, while they're eating free meals, getting their beaks loosened up, getting toasty in the sun sitting on the rock, in the meantime, guess what? Their feathers begin to grow again. Sound like last Sunday night, don't it? Their feathers begin to grow again. And they begin to get fat. And they begin to get strong. And all of a sudden one day, they're standing on that rock, which, by the way, is a little higher than the valley they're in. And a breeze begins to blow. You know what those eagles will do? They'll just lift their wings up. And the current of that current of that wind will begin to pick them up, remind them where they belong. Man, it's always the wind that reminds you where you belong. It's always the wind, Brother Ty. When the wind blows, but see, a lot of us, here's the problem. The wind's blowing and we're standing like this. What we need to be doing is having our sails up, having our wings up, waiting for the current to get strong enough to get the idea in our heads that, you know what, I don't belong down here. Turn over there now to Isaiah chapter number 40. You know this. Verse 29, it's too fitting. Look at verse 29. Chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know this verse. Read it with me. Come on, read it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You know what I believe verse 31 is talking about? I believe it's talking about an eagle that's going through the molting stage. It waits for the wind to blow. And they shall mount up with wings of eagles. What do they have to do? They have to wait on the Lord. Preacher, I don't want to be in this valley. Awesome. That's the first stage. Because if the eagle does not care to live, he can die right there. He has got to make up in his mind. I'm an eagle. I don't want to live like a turkey. I don't want to gobble like a turkey. I don't want to run with turkeys. I want to live with eagles. So I'm going to go find a rock and make sure the sun can see me. Now I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Do you want to mount up wings of eagles? Well, first thing you do is you got to get out of the nest. You got to take a flap. There's been examples. It works. He said, preacher, if I take a step out of faith, I might fall. Mama's around. In our case, God's around. He'll hold you up. You say, oh, I'll flutter, make a mess, everybody, I'll embarrass myself. Well, sometimes that's what we need, a good case of embarrassment, get over ourselves. But he'll carry us up till we learn how to carry the currents right. I'm sure there's a lot of preachers, when I was first starting preacher, listen to me preach, and said, Lord, that boy cannot preach. And some of y'all probably still feel that way. But you know what they did? They encouraged me in the ministry. Some of them just kind of carried me and let me catch the currents. And, oh, that's what that is. That's what leadership of the Holy Spirit is. That's when God says stop, you stop. And when he says go, you go. When he says take a lap, take a lap. That's what that means. It means take a lap. Real deep. Sometimes you sit there and say, well, man, I feel like I ought to take a lap. I know I should take a lap. I feel like I ought to take a lap. Oh, I won't take a lap. Everybody. And the Lord said, take a lap. Take a lap. And you're like, no, I ain't going to take a lap. Then you go home and wonder why you're miserable. Amen. Didn't follow the current. Amen. Didn't follow the current. Might be somebody here tonight going through a valley. And you got your head down. Maybe you're not flying like you should. Maybe you feel like God can't do it anymore. I said they go through molting. But you got to go find a rock. Got to make sure the sun sees you. Find somebody else that's going through it. Don't sit there and pout with each other. Oh, my big Sammy. My big Sammy too. That's not what God wants us to do. Whack, whack, whack. I'm tired of holding my head down. How about you? Hey, I'm going to call you up tomorrow. I'm going to call you up tomorrow. We're going to pray. Whack. I'm going to get this calcium off of me. I'm tired of holding my head down. I'm going to hold my head up. You say, well, if I hold my head up, the sun will get too bright. You know the wonderful thing? I just remember this. You know what the wonderful thing about eagles? They got a second set of eyelids. They got two set of eyelids. One's made for let them rest. And the other one's made, they open them up, and they're clear, but they're opaque a little bit. And it lets them fly towards the sun. The sun don't overwhelm them. The eagle can fly. If they have any enemy, they just head off towards the sun, fly as hard as they can. And they can look right into the sun. It don't bother them one bit. Oh, I'm afraid if I look at the sun too much, it'll get too bright for me. That ain't your problem. If you're an eagle, he'd give you a whole set of lids just so you can look at the sun. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? I hope somebody got some help out of this tonight. Let's all stand tonight. Let's all stand. Listen, church. Listen tonight. Let's have an altar call. Maybe somebody just needs to come down and say, I don't want to live like a turkey. And I'm not making fun. I'm talking real. I don't want to live second class. God didn't save you to live second class. You listen to me? God didn't save us to sit around and pout and pity and have pity parties. I mean, you come over to my house and I come over to your house and we'll complain. No, God didn't do that. God saved us that we might sharpen each other. We might encourage each other. You ought to find a friend. Listen, you ought to find a friend that's more spiritual than you are. When I was lifting weights, Miss Tracy, it's been a long time. When I was lifting weights, though, here's what I did. I never found somebody that could lift the same thing as me or less than me because they did me no good. I found somebody, I found one of them brutes, you know, because he had challenged me. He didn't make me push myself. But you get on some little sissy and you're like, well, look what I can do. That's what we want to do, don't we? We want to find somebody that's less spiritual than us. Oh, look at me. They that measure them by themselves are not wise. Now here, you ought to find somebody close and ask them to help you. Listen, church, this book's got some answers in it. But we're going to come to the Lord and be real about it. I want the pianist to come play something softly. Maybe you just need to come down tonight. See, we smiled some night. You know why? Because we needed to. I know that. I'm not ignorant of that. I know we need to smile sometimes. Mr. Ace is a good smile, ain't it? Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But listen, at the same time we're smiling, there's probably people under the sound of my voice tonight's hurting. Hurting. Burden. Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. And while she plays something tonight, why don't you just slip out and come down the altar and say, God, I don't want to run with turkeys. You made me a flat like you. I want to do that. I want to run to the rock. I want to sit in the sun. I want to sharpen my beak. I want my feathers to grow. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm telling you what, I've been through it. Some of y'all night when I preach, you could see it on somebody's face. Been through that. You know what your job is? Go find some meat for those who are going through it. Just thought I'd call you. Tell you I love you. Others are coming. Won't you come on tonight? You know you need to come on. Come on. Be a help tonight. Be a help tonight. Be an encouragement tonight. Come on. Come on, church. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You need to step. Just step on out tonight.